an internal narcissist, loving myself openly so I can love others truly. People amaze me. I feel their energy when I look at them and expand in their presence, believing each life is real magic that shines brightly in the venue of its choice, vibrating in the hues of its disposition, causing our worlds to bleed into each other, measured or not, through juxtaposed strokes of intent or divine intervention, a blending of spirit and breath, creating the Picasso of the grandest illusion of all, life. Welcome to Internal Narcissist Radio. I am your host, Kelly J. Wright, and the voice for Internal Narcissists.
And I'm Rosie McPherson, your co-host.
And Internal Narcissist staff photographer.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that part.
She forgets that because it's so much more fun to be the co-host right now, right?
Oh, I just have never said it before.
It is her first time saying it. Welcome to Internal Narcissist. This is our radio show 17. It's been a crazy ride. We're coming into the downstretch for 2013, which was my favorite year that I've been waiting for my whole life because I knew in 2013 all these good things were going to happen. I'm actually having the best time having some of the most amazing guests just come into my life to be on the show lately. I've got an amazing new co-host. I've got a great engineer with On One. Mm-hmm. And we're really excited to do this show today. We're going to start. I'll tell you a little bit about our guests in a minute, but we're going to start with our check-in for the week. And I just wanted to say I had a really good week.
I'm glad you did.
Did you?
Sort of.
Yours was
a little challenging.
Yeah. Rosie, holidays are very hard for Rosie with the loss of her son and doing family things. It's still and always will be a stretch there at times. So I haven't had that sort of thing come into my life yet, and I can knock on wood, but I know that when I get there, she's going to be able to help me really, really well. So I'm sorry that it's been a little bit tough for you this week.
It's okay.
I've had a good week.
Good.
I did. That's awesome. I got to meet our guest that's coming in, that's in the studio with us today, Alana. She is a very good friend of Rosie's, and she's a photographer, and she has got a special project that she's working on that I can't wait to tell you about. But also, we're going to talk about my blog words. But before we do that, we need to jump back a little bit in time. And it's kind of confusing if you're on the ride with us, because we've had a couple reruns for our shows. So you might lose track. But what we always do at the end of the show is we lead off with a spiritual a commitment from a song that we play.
Right.
So we listen to the song. I meditate. I pick something. And then Rosie and I have to go back and figure through a week something that happens, meditating, or if we get a sign, come back with the story. And always, Rosie goes first.
Oh, I didn't know Rosie always goes first, but we're going to do this. Okay. And you don't know what I'm going to say.
I don't. I'm at a loss today. Usually we discuss this. So.
Yeah. Okay. So we're taking this off of the song
Pachamama,
which is oh my gosh,
right? You know, and I'm sorry, I should have given a better lead in to our guests out there in the audience. Pachamama is a song, and it's by Jim Valley, and it's about Mother Earth, and it's written by school children in Bolivia, and it's about their homeland, and it talks about Mother Earth and Father Sky and Sister Moon, and it's just this really, and it talks about all the different creatures on the planet and how we live together. And when I was meditating, I really got excited about the rooted people.
I love that part. Sorry.
I do too. Well, and that's what I chose. And because I thought, well, we're also rooted into our beliefs that maybe we need to loosen our roots a little and breathe and shake and try to like just not be so rigid and like learn how to be more open and growing.
Be more childlike.
More childlike, and go find something inside that we can loosen our feelings on a little bit and maybe breathe and kind of change our perspective.
Yeah, which brings me into what I did that was a good part of my week.
Okay.
Because I, like I said, it was a little challenging, but I was at Costco, just with my mom, taking her there so we can look around and grab some things. And they had these huge stuffed animals.
My mind went straight to stuffed animal. Huge stuffed animal.
Huge. They were monsters. Or big ones.
I have one of those.
Yes. I mean, they were like as, I was going to say as big as me, but I'm not that big.
She's not a monster.
I'm not a monster. But anyway, they had these huge, I mean, just massive stuffed animals. And when I saw it and I put my arms around it and hugged it, it took me back to when Brian was 10 years old. And we were at Nordstrom's, and you know how they have the piano,
yes,
you know, pianist in there playing. Yes. And he and my mom just started dancing.
Oh.
She grabbed him, he grabbed her, and they just started dancing.
Wow, you got a flashback.
Yes. And it was beautiful because I'm standing there. Sorry.
Don't say you're sorry. It's okay.
Watching this beautiful scene. And then he comes over to me and we just start dancing down the aisles in Nordstrom. And people are looking at us going, oh my gosh, what are they doing? But we didn't care. We were having such a good time and it was beautiful. And with that flashback that I had last week, this last week, I'm hugging this huge bear
and dancing down the aisle.
And I started dancing down the aisles with this bear. Oh my god!
And that's where I would have been. What's going on?
Oh my gosh! My mom is looking at me, going, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm having fun." Yeah. And she went, do you remember? And I went,
oh,
I do. And that's why I'm doing it. This is my Brian.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And so, yeah. So I danced down the aisles in Costco with a big bear. I was five.
I'm so going to cry today.
I know, right?
I'm already going to cry.
It was just a beautiful moment. But you know what? The thing that was cool about it was not just the memory.
Right.
But it was the people that were smiling. Now, whether they were smiling thinking I was off my meds, I don't know. Or just enjoying the fact that I was having a good time. Or, wow, I wish I could do that.
Really, what it makes me think about is how people really want to be childlike and have fun.
Do.
But they're so afraid of what other people think. And with you even just, you know, being yourself and doing that, they were able, them smiling and seeing it, they get to be a part of it, even if they're still too afraid to do it. I wish they would all flash mob in Costco and start dancing.
Oh my gosh, would that just be the greatest thing? Grab your partner.
Seriously.
Grab a dragon.
Seriously, freaking die. Yes! I'm shaking right now.
It'd be
awesome if everybody could just do what they wanted, which is to freaking have fun.
Just
so close
out
to swearing. Ooh. Alana, you did it. Okay.
That was
I got
mine.
So excited from your story that I'm trying to remember mine. No, I've got mine. I really like that, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
It was beautiful. I like that you all remembered and we're there together.
Yes.
I was there with you, all three, all of you. So yes, that was really gorgeous. You know, mine took a little bit longer because before I had my good week, there was kind of like a bad week, and October went on for 2 months, and now it's December.
I know, right?
Yeah, like it's December, and I kept thinking, I never get worried. I know it's going to come, and today, literally last minute, I'm meditating in the shower. You know, after working out, going, come on, guys, give me something. And I start thinking, you know, about our guest today and what we're going to talk about with, you know, with our identities and how we connect to feelings that were given to us or accepted by us at an early age. And I thought, well, how can I tie this all into my show today? And how can this work with, you know, finding something to be less rooted in so we could free ourselves? And I just went into this spin of how we always talk about on internal narcissists, you have to be your best friend.
That's right.
You have to treat yourself as your most prized possession, that you would never harm or let anyone else harm. And until you can do that and put you first, you're not going to get that next step.
Absolutely.
And that we were all babies. And so we all are little kids inside and we're all fun and loving and want to be special and seen and adored. And then it just hit me that, you know, realization was that that's enough. Because I have a lot of problems with not thinking that I'm good enough when it comes to my mother and different things and never pleasing her. And so I thought, okay, I've got what it is about being less rooted. I already know how to be less rooted with me, but I need to learn how to be less rooted with other people's ideas of me that I've embedded in my memory bank, that are in my internal DNA and my cosmic strands that that ignite even when I don't want them to be. So my commitment, my spiritual commitment from last week is for everyone to really reach out there. And when you start thinking, and this will all make sense in a minute, but when you start thinking about the things that hurt you or bring you down, you need to remember, or you need to figure out if that was given to you by someone or if it was accepted by someone else, and then how to become less rooted in it. Because I am 43 years old and I am a grown woman, and I need to stop trying to please my mother. It doesn't mean I don't have to love her. It doesn't mean I don't go out of my way to do everything for her, but I am not 8 anymore. I am not 12. I am not 16, and I am me. And until I can accept me for me and know that I'm good enough, then it's never going to work.
Right.
That's what we do to internal narcissists. We keep going deeper and down, deeper in our layers.
Oh, man.
And then we go, huh, there's still more to go.
Yes.
That's our commitment check-in from last week. I kind of jumped over this just because I wanted to give it more recognition. And when I say it, I mean when I introduce our special guest today, who is Alana. She's from Alana T Photography. She's this incredible woman who started this project. She's a photographer. And I fell in love with the fact that she got women to get out there and start talking about their body image and how they were and reinforcing negative insecurities within themselves that they didn't even know that they were doing. And how that affects their lives. But right now, we're going to listen to a song from Brooke Lasat. You are listening to Internal Narcissists on NWCZradio.com. Please take a minute and join us as we breathe in to center ourselves. That was As the River Flows by Brooke Lasat. And I think our words flow like rivers through us continuously in our lives. They crash, they go slow, they move around bends. And that's the blog that I'm going to read today. It's called Words, and it goes like this. Always hearing the real me and knowing things that no one else did, could, or would, I realized that all human beings, we spend most of our times with ourselves. We know ourselves the best, yet we constantly leave part of us out of the equation by not acknowledging the other part of us that truly completes us. The secret twin held mute behind our eyes. A shadow soul to our truest self, only we hear and rarely share with anyone else. This seemed backwards to me, and I needed to find out who I was and what was motivating my behavior. I started keeping an ear out for the backdrop of my mind, hearing past the daily noise of life, and embarked on an internal journey. I reached in with both hands to find the other me. I brushed the hair back from her brow to touch her face ever so curious and empathetically. I needed to be allowed to identify with my life and its actions for what they were, and I needed her. My silent parlor to self and the glue that held me together through so many years, both good and bad. I had to ask a lot of questions and sit alone for periods of time to earn the trust of this nakedness. It took baby steps to believe in me and get the answers I needed. They did not come swiftly. Believe me, the you that has had the sole job of protecting you up until the point where you were ready to let go and go solo is not going to hand over the keys to their unraveling so easily. We have coping mechanisms for a reason, so we can cope and survive. You know, when I was writing this blog, it was the third one when I was trying to get everything out of me so I could figure out how to get the next best part of me. I'm always continuously working on being a better me. And what that is personal to each and everyone on their journey. I knew that there was more, but I couldn't get past the parts of me that were stuck. And I kept living a life with two separate people, the me that was real and in time that I wanted and knew everything she wanted to do, and the one that would not let go. It's very hard to understand those two differences, so I can't expect it to come easily. It took me a long, long time. And I needed her and I loved her because she was part of me. So to be able to find the difference between letting go of something and someone that is a part of you so you can become who you are growing to be, it's a very interesting river of words. I said, over time, my life began to appear to me, and I found out who I was and how I became the person I was. See, we are tested and pushed at every age, and who we become along the way is determined by all the colors, creeds, and decisions we make. I cried when I saw all the pain wrapped in strength and pride that was holding me together. A deep, dark cord of disdain wrapped in a cold beauty around the ghost of the woman I had become, but she had saved, and both survived. You know, I wrote on my next line that I dropped to the ground and I dropped to the floor in my mind while my knees hit earth. And it's so exactly what you're doing when you're trying to figure out who you are and why you do the things you do, because there's the real-time you that's here present outside on this earth that we're walking, and there's the part in you in your mind that just talks to you all day long, and that you're fighting with or you don't know you're fighting with. And you know, I said I wept uncontrollably with that part of me that was me, but I could not identify with anymore. I wanted out. But this is where it becomes very hard, and you can't just close out. So I instead decided to fall deeply in love with me, every part of me. I decided to love the good, the bad, and the ugly. All the things that I didn't like, that I thought people didn't like, the things that I thought my mother didn't like, the things that were a part of me, no matter how much I tried to identify them with something else. I'm Kelly number 5, Kelly whatever. No, I am one person, and I needed to accept and realize all these parts of me. It's a very hard blog that I wrote, and it's a little bit easier to read this time around. It's one that I chose specifically for our guest today, and it just makes me proud of how far I've come, and I refuse to give up on myself, and I am not going to give up on anyone out there who's listening to me. It is a journey that we take over and over again, and we make mistakes, and we fall down, and sometimes it hurts, and sometimes we cut our knees, and we bleed in public, you know, but it's okay. Your true friends will be there for you. You know, I said, internal narcissist is about loving you first. And I mean, every part, even what you perceive as the ugliest part of you, because it is you, no one knows you like you do. No one can reach you like you do, and your life is your gift to behold. You're enough just being the beautiful creature you are, shining in all the hues of your very own intention. And we're going to play another song, and it's by Brooke Lazotte, and it's called Lonely.
I've never had a man like you before.
I just fell in love with that song. It's by Brooke Lazotte. It's called Lonely. And I love how it says when there's too many hours in the day. I think that we've all had those moments where we've felt that way. I think that our next guest that we have in the studio, Alana from Alana T Photography, she's helped people find different ways to look at themselves during those probably moments with her art and what she's creating and instilling in women's life. I'd really like to give a warm welcome to Alana and welcome you to Internal Narcissist Studio.
Thank you.
Hi. We're glad you're here.
So glad you're here. If you could see her, she's absolutely stunning. So she's sitting over there quite relaxed in the studio like a little Cheshire cat. Alana was introduced to me through my co-host and good friend, Rosie McPherson. Rosie has been involved with her in two of her projects. We're going to focus on the first one. And the first project that Alana worked on, we'll get to in just a minute. I wanted to, first of all, tell you, if anyone's listening out there and wanted to pull up her website while we're talking, you could go to Alana, spelled A-L-A-N-A-T, photography.wordpress.com. So you could look at her website and kind of scroll through some of the different shoots and different projects that she has going on while we're talking, if you're interested in doing that. And you can also see how beautiful she is.
And she is.
But I was wondering if you would do us a favor and our guests out there listening, Alana, and first tell us a little bit how you got involved in photography. It's a great story.
Well, I was married for a long time, for 10 years. It was a long time. It was a long marriage. And that ended in a not good way. And I found myself a single mom of a 7-year-old. And I was making a living working makeup, cosmetics, freelance stuff, and coffee shop work. And I knew that this was the time that I should probably take and get some education and have something else I could do. And I just kept thinking about it, and I nothing was fitting. Nothing. People would recommend medical stuff, and I just, like, it's not my thing. I was like, well, that'd be great, but I'd be bored.
Oh my God, I love you.
So I don't know why one day I was always taking pictures. Actually, once I got divorced, I started taking pictures a lot.
You told me that they made you feel happy. Or yeah. Not me, but I read it in your blog.
Yeah.
It filled the hours, kind of. It goes
exactly.
With the song
it was
a little.
Just, it was just something that, it made me happy. And I was enjoying my friends, and I was seeing them in a, I don't know, different light, I guess.
Right.
I just have a million pictures of that, of that time period.
Of that time period. Because it was something you picked up.
Yeah.
We talked about that with Rosie, you know, after the passing of Brian. When she finally started to get back out, it was through her camera. So
exactly.
Photographers have that connection to their camera and taking pictures. I loved it when I saw you're like, and then one day I saw you can go to photography school.
Yeah.
I was like,
that's basically how it happened. Shazam.
I do that.
I just realized one day, oh my goodness, I can't actually go to school and get an education for that and make it a career.
Right.
It was scary a little bit because I had a bunch of people telling me that it was not the time to pursue something in that course, you know, that that's not going to pay, especially, you know, the way the economy is going. So
right.
But I did it anyway.
I thought it was incredibly brave, you know, to go through a 10-year marriage, to be on your own and say, you know what, most people just hunker down to kind of keep the status quo so they could not, you know, fall. And, you know, after meeting you yesterday and chatting with you and Rosie at Starbucks, it made complete sense. You're like, no, I really want to, this is my chance to really do something.
Yeah. And it was then or not at all. Like I jumped and if I couldn't go to school right then I wasn't going to go. I knew I wouldn't. I know that that's my personality. I'm going to dive in. And it was important to me to show my daughter that, you know, it's not too late at any time to pick up something else. And
Right. And, well, I know, that a lot of people are going to be very glad that you made that decision.
I'm glad you made that decision.
I know some already are. I'm looking at your photography and I just love it. So it was meant to be. It was meant to be. I'm sorry, my phone just went off in the studio. So yeah, I got the faux pas when I said I turned mine off, everybody.
It was just a fairy.
I know. It was just a little Tinkerbell.
Well, you know, we were chatting, the blog today is about words. It's how we talk to ourselves. And Alana's a photographer. She helps people see themselves. So how we see ourselves and how we talk to ourselves are things are interwoven. This woman, is amazing in the fact that she has created that'll be my second question, but she's created this project that weaves both of those in a way that I never could have imagined, that I'm just so excited about. But first we want to talk about how you decided to come up with this project. There are some things going on,
right? I don't really know how to put it, except for that I was going through some, I guess what you could...
We'll call it haterism.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're okay to say that.
Basically. And if I could jump in, tell the name of your project.
Oh, it's called Women Raw, Honest, Loved.
Women Raw, Honest, Loved. Oh, I just love it.
And it basically started because I was experiencing some bullying of sorts. I mean, just like
as an adult.
Yeah, I'm 35. Like, it didn't make any sense. And that's really, I mean, it was just petty little things I was hearing about, stuff that would happen on the internet. Like, just, it got ridiculous. But it got hurtful. And there was one week, really, where some stuff had happened. And I was angry. It finally got to you.
Yeah.
And I confided in some, you know, really close friends of mine, my boyfriend, and, you know, anything that a retaliation of sorts didn't feel right.
Right.
Like in a negative way. And after like a week of having it irritate me, I decided it had already taken enough brain space as it was. I know, right? That was annoying that, yeah, I had put in even that much time focused on that. And I just thought something needed to change. We're not in junior high school. We're not, we are grown women.
There's
no reason why we should be attacking one another. It was from women who don't know me at all. We've had maybe three interactions.
Right. They're just judging.
Right. And it just didn't make sense to me. So, you know, I gave it some positive thought after a bit.
It took a week to get a positive thought, but I did it.
And then I was just kind of doing some research, and it really came down to women being insecure, and not just women being insecure, but
We're focusing on women today, so we're allowed to say that because, you know, in general, people can be all, but we're focusing on women.
Right.
Yes. It can be an epidemic of sorts.
It's very contagious.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so basically, you know, those insecurities are what we end up taking out on other women, and then we attack, and we... Even if we're not doing it to them, we're doing it behind their backs. And it's negative. It's negative energy that you're giving to your friend you're talking to.
Right.
We bond with our friends over this stuff by talking trash about somebody else. It was ugly. It was ugly to me.
Well, and it ends up hurting the person doing it just as much, because they're taking away time from being positive and productive and creating goodness in their life.
Exactly.
You know, whenever I'm feeling scared or fearful of something, I go, am I looking at this from a love base? Because if I am, I won't be scared. Because if we just love people, then we won't be afraid of them.
Right.
But it's very hard to figure that out.
Yeah.
And I know Rosie was going through some things too. So we talked about it on our break with the internet and different things, women's groups. I've talked to Rosie about it. I've never heard anything, but I've told her, I said, I'm sure there's some people out there that, you know, think negative about me. I don't know, but, and even just being worried, you got to think, how messed up is that when no one said anything, but you're just assuming. So you're like doubly messed up, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, somebody call the police.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But it is an epidemic. We are fearful. We are afraid. And then when we are together, we don't have a really good time.
Yeah.
Because no one's being open
and
honest.
Real.
It's not real.
Right.
Yeah, we always say in internal arts, if it's real time, that's what we're trying to get to live in, is real time. And we can't when we're coming backwards from that.
Yeah. So that was kind of the impetus behind it. I ended up writing that blog about that subject and about just insecurities.
And tell us the name of the blog so people could look it up.
That one was If You Don't Have Anything Nice to Say.
Right.
Yeah.
Which almost goes with, if you just because you read my Facebook page doesn't mean you know me. That's
exactly.
My blog.
That's
coming up.
Yeah.
But it's so true.
It is.
Did you have a lot of response to that blog? Did anybody reach out to you?
More than I expected, actually. I mean, I know we talked about this a little bit, but I really kind of expected a few of my friends would be like reading it, you know, and maybe want to do this with me. But I put out on there that I wanted to have a night with some women and some wine and get together. And maybe if we spent an evening discussing something like that we struggle with, that we'd be able to relate to each other, and maybe we would. My main goal was to possibly talk trash to a woman. We'd stop ourselves maybe and think about the fact that we don't know her, and we don't know these awesome things about her that her family and friends love. And
yes,
exactly. So
yes,
that was the that was the goal. That was the reason that we did it.
The icebreaker.
Yeah.
The one that got it started. It was the catapult.
And then I had a lot of women who responded on there that wanted to do that. And then, of course, I had close friends that I had been talking to, too. And so we created this first night.
Well, and that'll lead us into, why don't you tell us a little about the first night?
So do you want me to kind of break down what the project, what we do?
Yeah.
So what I did is I had these women, I mean, this first group ended up being 18 women, 16 that were physically there that night. But what I did is I had them write up a paragraph or so. Sometimes it's more than a paragraph. It gets kind of emotional. Once you're pouring it out. Yeah. So they wrote in to me and emailed me like what their insecurity was, what these issues are. And a lot of times they were fears. It's insecurity and fear is all wrapped into one. So they would write in about that and why they feel that way, what, you know, maybe it stemmed from. And then I, at the same time, requested of 5 to 10 of their family members or friends that they deemed, you know, qualified enough to say positive things about them. Then these people wrote in to me just these awesome things that they see in that woman. And I need it to be known that none of those people knew what this woman's insecurity was. That they're not allowed to know that. Nobody knows any of that until like the project actually takes place. So I collected all that information. And then that night, what I would do is have the woman read her insecurity.
Which is hard.
Rosie can attest to.
Well, and is that the first thing you do when everybody gets there? They kind of say hello, they get a glass of wine, sit down, kind of talk for a little bit.
Yeah, we get like a good 45 minutes of
warm up.
Kind of getting to. Yeah, and it's still kind of tense.
It's
hard. You know, not tense, but.
Well, yeah, but you're scoping.
You don't know these women.
Like, you don't. You're scoping out the safe spot to sit in the room.
Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic.
It is.
Yeah, but then we get started. We sit around in the, I mean, it's my mother-in-law's living room, basically. We real comfy and cozy.
It's amazing.
And then, we just take turns. And so I have the woman read her insecurity write-up that she had sent to me.
Right.
And it's not just her that ends up in tears. It's everybody. Right. Like, every single woman is relating to her insecurity. And 45 minutes ago, I guess, they didn't know her at all.
Yeah, or would have maybe, like you said, prejudged because it's
and
part
now
of
we're
our
relating.
Right, because technically we all are caregivers and mothers. We just don't know how to do it to our friends or people we don't know.
It can be awkward.
So all of a sudden you're just like crying and bawling and you're like,
yeah,
I don't even know her. But
exactly.
Right.
So then I would awkwardly take them over directly after they read this and take their picture with their insecurity wrapped, you know, summed up on a chalkboard in a word or phrase or whatever. Oftentimes they could look a mess, I guess, or they think that, you know, because makeup streaming.
It's so beautiful to me to think that raw emotion.
Super raw. It's a powerful, they're all powerful photos, I think.
Yeah.
And then they go back and sit down and then I read the awesome things that their friends and family say about them. So I give them a book of like all of the things, but I read three, so that, you know, time wise, 16 women, that was
be
crazy.
There for 2 days. Yeah.
We almost were.
Yeah. It's a 5-day retreat.
I know. Yeah. And then, you know, if you see the photos, then you'll see the other side where we have the 5 different chalkboards with characteristics that their friends and family see in them to kind of counteract that negativity.
You know, I went home last night and just dove into your webpage and, you know, I see all these beautiful black and white photos of these women and looking insecure and holding up a chalkboard that they've written down their insecurities on. And I just think that if everyone would just know that about everyone instead of assuming that they, like you said, Rosie, yesterday at lunch, you know, we all put on our makeup, we go out with our best face forward, but we have to, you know, that's what we have to do to get through the day. But if you don't know what's going on at home, you don't know what someone's child is going through or suffering or a family member. And then just because they were actually could pull off that smile or get themselves ready in
that's
a good
right.
way that you just assume not, and then you bypass them or don't treat them nice because well, all of a sudden they look well put together and you don't feel it inside. It's just a switching of things, you know.
Right.
I saw those those I saw those chalkboards and I went to bed thinking last night, what are mine? You know, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And I'm like, I got three. I want to do the project.
I know she can.
Like, I'm so down for this. I think we should be, you've got women of all ages. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the age groups you've worked with.
Well, because of that first group, we really did figure out that all of these things pretty much stem to our childhood or teen years, especially. Yeah. And they're things that we just haven't been able to shake since then, mm-hmm. you know, that we've been dwelling on every minute of every day since that time. So, that just seemed like the next best thing was to do one with teens.
Right.
Maybe hope to combat some of that, you know, or stop it while it's, you know, before it's really starts.
Right. Or at least get a conversation going.
Yeah, exactly.
The sooner we start talking to each other as women and supporting each other and being nice instead of competing or worrying like that's someone's going to take something or we'll lose something, the sooner we start doing that, the better.
Yeah.
Because it is teenage years where it gets lost. We're okay as the kids and kind of, it's getting earlier now. It's in elementary schools, but it's just changing so much for them. But
you need to plant positive seeds.
Yeah.
And you planted a positive seed and you had a good feedback with one of the young girls. And I'd like you to tell that story.
Yeah. Well, the teen group was awesome when we were there, but it was different than our first group, you know, because we were drinking wine. Like I said. So we were very sherry.
You guys were very sherry because it's so easy for us women to do once we've had two drinks. Yeah. I love you.
We couldn't ply these teens with wine.
Well, you know, I want you to be specific because there's a lot of mothers out there listening mm-hmm. with teenage daughters. Mm-hmm. So tell us, take your time and tell us what you want to tell us about this teenage group.
Well, it was interesting to me because, like I said, they send these insecurities in to me first before we do this group. And I, as a teen, was totally concerned with how I looked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so were so many of my friends. It was mm-hmm. just what our concern was in teenage years. And I was impressed that the majority of these girls, that was not what they wrote about. They wrote about other things. They wrote about not feeling like they were doing good enough in school or
academics.
Yes.
Because it's so pushed in high school these days.
Right. It was a lot of that. And I should put out there too, it was from 12 to 18. Wow. That was the age group. So a big span. Mm-hmm. But then I started thinking about it and I mentioned it that night to them how impressed I was that didn't seem to be a concern of theirs. And they all were just kind of quiet. And they didn't really say like, oh, yeah, no, we don't care about that. So I thought, you know.
That would be a lie.
Yeah. They're like, maybe that's not maybe what's happening.
She didn't catch on to it.
Right.
But what you said yesterday about that was important, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's just something that they maybe didn't want to put out there to put into other people's minds.
Right.
About
feeding them.
You know, yeah.
Feeding them their insecurities instead of.
Exactly. Here you go. This is what I hate about myself. Why don't
this
you
is how
also?
You can tear me apart.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And well, yeah, because they're relentless.
Exactly. Well, and you know what? That's the vulnerable part of the project as is too mm-hmm. for
it is.
Women of all ages.
In all
to
ages.
Put themselves out there like that.
It's, right.
Yeah. But that was interesting to me that had happened, but we had that conversation and then I didn't really, it's the only group that I didn't really hear back like for a while. Didn't know like, if bye-bye. It had an effect on them at all. I wasn't real sure. Teenage girls not talking too much until I about bawled my eyes out mm-hmm. one day when I got, I'm going to do it again. Mm-hmm. When I got from one of the girls who was actually job shadowing me and participated in the project. She was 18. She had just graduated. She wrote a part in her school newspaper about that night. And she's super shy. She has a hard time with making friends, you know, because she feels so shy.
Right.
She wrote this whole, it was like the whole front half page of the paper about it and how it was the best day of her life. And mm-hmm. she couldn't believe that she picked one of the girls in the group that she would have never thought that this girl had the issues that she did, you know, because to her, she looked
perfect.
Like she was, strong and beautiful and
outgoing.
Exactly. And so it was just it made me see that it's worth it still, it, even no matter the age, it's gonna do something,
you know. And it just makes me think, you know, when we talk about this as artists or people that are giving back to the community, you don't always know who you're touching,
right?
And of course, it's the quiet one. It's the one that's job shadowing, the photographer. It's the girl who doesn't, you know, that's shy, but she's writing the school paper. Yeah. And she is the one that actually just went out there and is going to get this out to everybody. Right. And it just turned her whole world around, because
she was the quietest one that night.
Yeah. The artistic one that's very introverted and, you know, seeing everything and making all these. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was really moved by that. You know, I've gotten a couple of letters and from people reaching out to me and, for my writing, and you never know where it's going to come from. Mm-mm. And mine were from men. And I thought I was writing to women.
Right.
And then I realized I'm writing to everyone.
You are.
And it made my heart just, I always say, you know, like from the Grinch, my heart grew 3 times that day. Mm-hmm. And we just got to keep doing what we're doing. I love your project. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to talk more with Alana. And you could check out her website at Alana T, that's A-L-A-N-A-T, photography.wordpress.com. We'll be back.
Is always green on the other side. You could not leave if you wanna. Cause you can't afford the ride. You could leave if you wanna.
only way out is for you to decide.
That's The Grass is Greener by Brooke Lazat. You know, I chose Brooke Lazat's music to go with words, to go with Alana's photography project, Women Raw Honest Love. It's the actually Raw Honest Women Raw Honest Love project. I'm kind of twisted in my words. I'm all over the place today. I think women are so beautiful. I think people are beautiful. I love words. I love pictures. I love music, and I love our hearts that beat and our blood that flows through us that make us so special. And I wish that we could remember that the grass it's not greener, that we're the green, that we're so beautiful. And it's we need to slow down. We need to be careful with ourselves and with each other. We need to be kinder to each other, and just learn to relax a little bit more in the presence of others. I been thinking about a commitment, and I think that this week Rosie and I are going to, on a commitment, our spiritual commitment for this week, Rosie and I are going to, we're going to come up with a question that we're going to submit to all of our guests out listening on the radio show. We're going to come up with a question. It'll go out on Internal Narcissist Radio, and we're going to ask for some answers and some feedback. And if you do reply, then we're going to have you call in, and we're going to have you share your response to this question on air to try and connect. We need people to connect more. We need women to be friends. We are ready for some people to call in, and I think that's a good way to get it started. Yeah. So we will sit down and come up with a question, something that's fun and interesting that we will put out there, and we will ask some people to join our conversation, to join Internal Narcissist. That's what Internal Narcissist is about. It's jumping in and joining the conversation so we can all talk and learn how to love each other. That is what Alana is doing. Mm-hmm. She's done it in a way that I could never imagined. I so want to be a part of this project. If you could go to her Facebook page at Women Raw Honest Love Project. If you don't cry, and if you don't feel alive, no, right, and if you don't want to run and then hug and love someone and just turn around, and when you see these pictures and these people, we are all so precious, and we need to be so much more kinder to each other. And that's all I got to say. Alana, thank you so much for being in the studio. Can you,
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Can you please tell people how to get involved in your project and to find you if they want to jump in and do this with you?
Through the Facebook page is great. Even on the blog, I've had people just get in touch with me through the WordPress site. So any of that is fine. Yeah.
If there's anyone out there that's listening that figures, knows a way that they think that they could help her with support her project or reach in, Internal Narcissist is all about connecting so we can connect to each other. I'm going to try and get a group together for me, because I'm going to do an Internal Narcissist project with Alana, and we're going to take this, we're going to take it to the next level. I am so excited that I met you.
Yeah. Me
and
too.
Once again, if you guys could go to Alana's webpage to see her photography, it's Alana T Photography on Facebook, or you could go to her WordPress.com account that's under Alana T Photography. I encourage you to step out, to reach in, to dance down the aisle with a teddy bear if you can. I am encouraging everybody to do everything to love themselves more right now. Right now, it's time for us to say our goodbyes. I hate doing this, and I'm going to start with saying one more time, thank you, Alana. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to just add that real quick, because it changed my life doing that project. It was amazing.
Thank We're going to have a show on where we actually have a couple of your girls and we get to
that
have them.
That would be awesome.
I wanted to make today about you, and Rosie brought you on and I'm so excited, but I think we'll do a showcase with Rosie and two of your models and come in here. I really want to get the women in to talk because that's how we reach each other. We have to be vulnerable and crying and laughing and having fun with each other.
Absolutely.
It's so important. Back to my goodbyes. I don't want to leave everybody. I would like to thank Brooke Lazotte and Pasta Tell for our wonderful theme and bed music. I want to thank my beautiful co-host, Rosie McPherson.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too.
I want to thank, of course, NWCZradio.com, Daryl Fortune, who I could not do the show without. Thank you so much, Big D, and my lovely engineer, On One. Yes. Next week, we will be back. Oh, he's doing something with my ears.
I know he was. I thought it was just me going crazy.
next week's blog is going to be forward.
Internal narcissism is about loving yourself internally and growing in, so we can be the people we were born to be, not the people we thought we had to become or ended up. Internal narcissism is about the journey within to heal and free mind, body, and soul. Please reach out to us through Facebook. Find a link on our website, internalnarcissist.com.